Take a seat. Well, I've got something here with me this morning, which most of us quite like now and again. It's a block of chocolate, and I just wonder if I gave it to you, okay, right, and then what happens if he's your brother, isn't he?
Cousin.
If your cousin was to come and take that off you, go on, you take it off her, and say, it's mine now. You can't have it. Would you be happy about that? You wouldn't, would you? No. Do you know what I think? You'd say, it's not fair. I was given that and now he's got it off me. It's not fair. Well, you know, the news sometimes reports various things. And we hear stories, for example, in an overseas country where people have been forced from their homes because they're of a different race or have a different skin colour to the majority of people. When we hear that, we say to ourselves, that's not fair. A person who's made money out of conning people and tricking people is discovered living in luxury in a foreign country. And they won't send them back to this country to stand trial. Well, we can't help but think when we hear of something like that, that's not fair. And that's because deep down we all have a strong sense of justice. It seems we want there to be fairness and that right should be seen to be right and wrong should be seen to be wrong. Well, that is a theme that fits very well with Advent Sunday when we remember that Jesus will, as we say in our statement of faith at the Nicene Creed, he will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. Now, over recent weeks here at All Saints, we've been thinking about the great truths that the Bible makes clear about God. That God is one God in three persons. God the Father, Jesus God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, as we've remembered in our service. And as indeed Evie was baptized into the name of God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We've also remembered that Jesus came into the world and died on a cross, rose again, ascended back to heaven. And this morning, as Advent begins, we see that Jesus will also return in order to fulfill God's plan. We read earlier from Matthew's Gospel that Jesus has been teaching his friends as he travels around the area that he grew up in, the Galilee region. And he's been showing that he is God's Messiah King, come to bring God's rescuing, saving, loving rule in a new way. And he's done this by controlling nature. He spoke to the wind and the waves on the sea, and they were calm. He healed people when they were sick, and he restored people's eyes when they were blind. And he's also explained about the realities of human beings, what you and I are like, and who he really is. Now, one particular way that Jesus explains truths is by telling stories, parables, stories with a meaning, including the one that we read. Now, this parable is often called the parable of the net. Now, the parable of the net is not a story about electronic communication like we might think in the 21st century, but it's a story about people that people in our area will appreciate and have done for many centuries, because it's a story that involves fishermen, a story that involves trawler nets and different fish that are caught and then need to be sorted. Once again, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it on the shore, and then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad fish away. Now, I've got a net here this morning, and it's been trawled around, and here we are, and it's got some fish in it. So I wonder if anybody can help me. Do you want to come and help me to sort out the fish? Here we are. There's fish in there. They're not real ones, otherwise they might be a bit smelly by now. Now, if you look at those fish, you can see that some of them are black and white. Some of them come in. Can you put them into two piles? You take some and make a pile. There's a bad fish, and there's a good fish. Right, can you sort those out? So this is what the fishermen did. You see, what they did in those days was they had a big trawler net, and they would go around maybe between two boats and drag the net between the two boats and collect whatever was there. So there'd be all kinds of fish, all kinds of sea creatures, all kinds of stuff just floating around on the Sea of Galilee. And they'd get their nets, and what they needed to do was to sort the fish out, because they wanted the good fish. They wanted the fish that they could eat, or the fish that they could sell to other people and make a bit of money. And then the other stuff, the bad fish, they would just throw it away, put it in the bin. How are we doing? Brilliant. We've got two piles. We've got the good fish and we've got the bad fish. Thank you very much. Shall we give them a round of applause? Thank you very much. You can go and sit down now. Thank you for your help. Now, why did Jesus tell this story? Well, in the story, fish are caught in the net and then they're separated into good and bad fish. Jesus says, when the kingdom of heaven comes, when he returns to earth, there will be a sorting of people. At the end of time, as we know it, when Jesus returns, like we say very regularly, Jesus will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. So Advent reminds us that we're waiting, not just to celebrate Christmas, but also we're waiting for Jesus' second arrival on the earth. And when he comes back, it will not be like his first arrival, where he was born in a place that hardly anybody knew, in a place that was a kind of rough, dirty animal shelter, and placed in a manger. When he comes back the second time, it will be in glory. As the hymn that we're going to, that we just sung, puts it from the Bible in Revelation chapter 1, every eye will then behold him. So Jesus will come back, and when he does, he will come as judge. He'll come and right all the wrongs. He'll make sure that all is fair and just in a new world which will last forever. So his kingdom will have no end. And that's how Jesus ends his little story. Just as the fish in the net were sorted into good fish and bad fish, so human beings will be sorted and judged. This is how it will be at the end of the age, says Jesus. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the blazing furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There will be justice. There will be punishment for wrong and affirmation of what is good. Now, we all want justice, and so it's good to know that one day right will be seen to be right and wrong will be seen to be wrong, even if it hasn't been recognised here and now. So terrorists and tyrants who seem to have got away with it won't in the end. Thieves and abusers who seem to escape now won't then. But we need to remember that according to what Jesus says and his assessment of human nature, that includes you and me as well. Jesus says, just a couple of chapters on in Matthew's Gospel, what comes out of the mouth comes from the heart, and these things make people unclean. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what make people unclean. So you see, Jesus makes it clear that whilst there are some obvious bad things that people do, actually the thoughts of our hearts and the attitudes of our minds show that we are all guilty. We are all unclean to God. We are all those who deserve judgment. We are all, to some extent, bad fish. And that's very serious. But Jesus came into the world in order to bring good news. Jesus came into the world not just to be the judge, but also to be the rescuer. the saviour of those who turn to him and believe in him. He is the one who is in charge to judge and to save. Now, I'm just going to show a short video clip now by that's been put together by the Welsh spoken word poet Di Woolrich. And what he speaks about is very relevant to what's going on in our news. And it also points to who Jesus is and how he can help us. Can I just check, is that sound coming through? It's not, is it?
Who's in charge? Who's in control? King of the castle, who plays that role? If you're for Brexit or afraid of the effects of it, if you're not into the politics because everyone's shifty, or curious of what happens after triggering Article 50, if you're for Trump or just feel Trumped, if you feel let down by the political establishment, if you're disengaged or just enraged, if you feel free as a bird that's been let out of its cage, ask yourself, who's in charge? Who's in control? King of the castle, who plays that role? Who's in charge? When all we seem to see is political sabotage, who do we follow? If the trust in the system's at an all-time low, when the rhetoric you hear is too much to swallow, all you feel are people are just in power because the people that they know. Who's in charge? Who's in control? King of the castle, who plays that role? My qualm, corn or beef, it's not we government. This is not about knocking the political establishment. I'm for democracy. May those in power help shape society. May their efforts bring justice and also bring equality. And may we pray the choices they make leave the right marks on history. And they may be in power, but ask yourself, who's in charge? The most unlikely of candidates. His campaign, compassion. His policy, to proclaim good news to the poor, and no matter your tax code, we all qualify. If you did a background check on this guy, you think he executed a smear campaign on himself. Born in a barn, outhouse, cave, stable, whatever you want to call it. On-call doctor, try on-call donkey. There's rags to riches, then there's plain ridiculous. Barely 2 years old, this guy was a refugee. Raised in Nazareth by a tradesman, stepdad and a teenage mother. Not exactly office running material. But then you scratch the surface, then you dig a little deeper. Turns out this little guy has the birthright to the ultimate dynasty. So ask yourself, who's in charge? Who do we seek? How about the one who grew up to speak, blessed be the meek? Let me tell you where I put my eternal vote. See, it's not in Westminster, White House or Whitehall. My vote's in the little guy who reigns above them all. He doesn't reside in Downing Street. He's the one who grew up to wash his disciples' feet. He doesn't sit in the Oval Office. He rules the Holy Office. And the keys to that place don't change hands every 4 years. No mistakes, no recounts, no referendums needed. He's the one for the job. God's son for the job, and he's in the right seat. What's his angle? All out affection. What's his line? Love. What's the message? He is the message. Want a slogan? How about Saviour in a manger? So who gets my vote this Christmas? The baby born so he could deliver us. And as I close, allow me to echo one of the many who endorsed his campaign. He'd be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty Minister, the Prince and President of Peace. Father everlasting.
Jesus is the Saviour in the manger. He is the baby born so he could deliver us. You know, before Jesus was born, as we thought about at the beginning, Joseph was told, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Jesus is the Saviour, the rescuer. So those who believe in Jesus won't need to be judged, for their sins have been judged in Jesus for them. And Jesus came, as he told his friends just a little bit later after what we read in his story. He came to give his life as a ransom for many. He came that through his death on the cross, he would pay the price of his people turning away from God. He paid the price where they couldn't pay themselves, and he sets them free. So on this Advent Sunday, it's good to remember these words that we've thought of from the Nicene Creed. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. And Jesus' story shows that when he arrives on earth for the second time, no one will say, "That's not fair." Jesus will come to judge the world with justice, and he will come to save those who believe in him. He is the Saviour in the manger. And the kingdom that he brings will last forever. It will be a kingdom of truth and goodness, of peace and purity. So as we think about these things this morning, are we looking to him for that day? Are we looking to him to be the one who is judged in our place? Or are we going to refuse him and simply take the risk of being judged ourselves, knowing what the outcome will be? If we are looking to him, if we are putting our confidence in Jesus, well then there's great confidence for the future. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus is the truth and the one who ultimately will judge the world. But we thank you even more that Jesus is the Saviour who came initially in the manger. We thank you for his death and resurrection that opens the way to you. Open our hearts afresh, we pray, and we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.